Evening, one and all, and welcome to the Naked Football Show. As we look back on a clogtastic win at Oakwell last night, a spirited display at the bridge, the signing of a player from the land of silver, that's Argentina. Did you know that, Phil? Because you know a lot, didn't you?
I did, actually.
And we'll talk about tonight's PLC, AGM, ABC, whatever. And to help us with this quest in particular, we welcome back Carl Day, who's from the Ipswich Town Trust.
Yeah, good evening.
And due to injuries, we had to give a belated call to England goalkeeper David James.
Good evening.
So, usual rules, keep your emails coming in at studio@icrfm.co.uk, or you can text us on 07797 802. Before we start, can I give a special mention to my niece Alice, who actually came across to the game. It was her fourth attempt, the first time she's ever seen the town win.
Well,
so congratulations.
Bad,
and the secret is a diet of chocolate flapjack and chips, by all accounts. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. And Graham now promises to buy your season ticket.
And some chocolate flapjack and chips every time you come.
For the next 20 years.
Yeah. Okay, Phil, what do you make of Barnsley then?
Well, Barnsley itself, well, not a lot.
No, it's pretty good.
I didn't see a lot of it, to be fair. Yeah, it was. I thought actually the first half was the best performance of the season.
Yeah,
it does help when you score two goals in the first 10 minutes, because it does settle the nerves somewhat. But also that you're playing against a Barnsley side that was so lacking in confidence that they seemed so scared of the ball every time it came near them, and the defence was all over the place. But you know, we created a couple of chances before we scored the very well worked first goal, I thought, and then the second one came a couple of seconds later, which was more down to error than anything else. But then we played some really nice stuff the rest of the first half and probably should have scored more goals.
Yeah, yeah.
Second half came out, they scored immediately because we started slowly. John Watts didn't really get enough of a clearance on the ball, and then it was more like the Crystal Palace performance. I thought we sort of hit them on the counter-attack. And really, you can't point to too many impressive saves that Richard Wright
made.
No, I
thought he did well, though.
We had another excellent game. The way he commands the box now is fantastic. Then you can't sort of point to too many sort of opportunities that they spurn. So, all in all, you have to say, a fine away performance. Mm. And a yet another away fine away performance. That's 6 wins away from home
this
season,
isn't it?
Which, bearing in mind we hadn't won any by this stage last year, is quite extraordinary. And and up to what we've sort of 3 points from the playoffs now. Well, you know, a few weeks ago people were saying season's over. Well, it's absolute nonsense, isn't it? The season's only just begun, I think. Discuss.
Absolutely. I thought the only one who wasn't that impressive, and it's been a bit like that all season, was John Walters last night. He just seemed
a bit quiet.
Anonymous, didn't he?
Mm. He was a bit quiet, and I still don't think Alex Bruce is a great right back.
No.
But everybody else, Pym, I thought was excellent. I like having the kind of three terriers in midfield of Quinn, Norris and Miller sort of getting up and down, which really you have to kind of look at that as being the point in the season when things have changed, really, is having a kind of bit more running in the midfield. Rather than sort of having Garvin, who although he's kind of he works hard, he's not quickest, and he's not kind of box to box really. And Shumanikoski tends to sit. I think since we've had the kind of more up and down midfield, we've done much better.
Mm.
But it's home form, you see. That's the thing now, isn't it? So you went, didn't you? But you two didn't go last night.
No, I didn't go last.
So what did we do Saturday? I forgot. Did we go somewhere?
Chelsea, wasn't it?
Mickey Mouse Club, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was Mickey Mouse Club in the sense it's sort of more like entertainment than football in some ways.
It was nice to see a few old friends I haven't seen for about 5 years.
Yeah, I said that in the paper. I said there's people I'd forgotten existed, let alone like football. Yeah, I hadn't seen a couple of people I hadn't seen since Milan. But we talked before, didn't we, about why there was such a clamour for tickets and stuff for Chelsea, because it's Chelsea, and Chelsea aren't kind of Milan, they aren't Liverpool, they aren't Man United, are they? But I think it's just the kind of lack of a big game for so many years, don't you?
Well, hopefully it's the first of few to come, let's hope, you know.
Yeah, yeah, getting back to the Premier League, but obviously, I mean, although we obviously wouldn't take 6,000 a week, I think we'd probably do a whole lot better than the likes of Wigan, Fulham and people like that are taking 500 or 600 away.
Well, we'd have a fairly full home ground to start with, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Some of the Premier Division teams haven't got at the moment anyhow.
No, no. So, Yes, so all in all, are you confident of the playoffs then?
No. I hate using cliches, but as I say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And Ipswich, traditionally in my book, for my memories, have always come good at the back end of the season. I mean, one of the Burnley years, we always have a sluggy start and then a really consistent run, and bang, we'd appear again. And to me, I think it's there. And the noticeable thing about last night was the team changes. There were quality players coming in, where before it was 15, 16 year old lads, you know, making. You know, making a first, second or third appearance.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly quite nice that you can drop three players that are experienced and bring in three players that are similarly experienced, which is something we've not been able to do before. But I totally agree with you what you're saying about the Burnley years. I can remember there was one season, I think we were in the November, we were in kind of relatively big trouble, really, or for that era. We were sort of fourth and bottom or something, and we ended up fourth. And I think we've come from far worse positions at this stage of the season and made the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, you know, and bearing in mind we've got the next three home games, I think, are... I've forgotten already now. Blackpool's one of them.
Plymouth
and Forest, none of whom are what you'd call table-topping sides.
They'll say that the Forest is probably one of the form teams at the moment.
Yeah. But, you know, you'd think if we were going to be a side that is... going to compete, that we ought to be beating the likes of them.
Agreed.
At home. So you think those three home games you'd win. The hardest game, I think, is Swansea, because I think Swansea are probably one of the best sides in the division.
Definitely one of the most mobile.
Yeah, and they play excellent football. And I think that actually the game there promises to be a bit of a classic. So,
running at home doesn't look too bad, but we're under the radar, and as long as we stay that way, we're primed, aren't we? 3 points behind. As good a goal difference, if not better, than all the other teams above us. So
it's what happens at the end of April and May, really, at the beginning of May that counts, really, at the end
of May. So I'd be quite happy if we kind of maintain where we are, you know, maybe close it down to 1 or 2 points. I wouldn't want us to get into the top six too early, because we have that tendency to think we're there already.
Well, it's interesting seeing, like, Wolves are starting to stammer a little bit now.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
You know, and a few weeks ago you would have said there's only two teams in the top two spots. Mm. Now suddenly there's three, possibly four, a long shot. And you then look at the, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th place. You know, as you say, even with us at 10th, we're all in the stab. So only a couple of wins.
The season is only just starting. What have the correspondents got to say?
Well, we're just going back to the Chelsea one. Pabs and Lee, did the panel think that if it wasn't for the Town fans on Saturday, Stamford Bridge would be like a library?
Yeah, I didn't really hear a lot from them.
No, I think it was like a library.
It was a bit like that last night as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Town fans making quite a racket last night, a few of us that were there. Actually, there's a fair few, wasn't there, considering a lot of them would have gone to Stamford Bridge as well.
447, it said, as we were walking
out. Plus, there's quite a few live up there, so that would have added to the numbers, presumably. Yeah. They wouldn't be counted on.
No. Barnsley announced, didn't they, on the way out, they said the attendance was 11,000 and something and 447 away supporters, so presumably that came from the thing. But that's not a bad away from
being midweek. Well done, all you who went.
In South Yorkshire after having been to Chelsea at the weekend, it's not too bad. The ground, I thought they made very little noise at all today, but then, you know, you don't after if you're two down after 10 minutes, do you?
No.
Well, apart from booing, they were really good at booing at half time, I thought.
They
actually
did.
It was some of the best booing I've heard this season away from Portman Road. There's a little section of Portman Road you can't beat, but you know, other than that, they were the best.
And the Tyke mascot took a bit of a pounding, didn't he?
He did. He got a lot of abuse. He was quite upset, I think.
Bless him.
There we go. Toby Tyke.
Right, here we go. Right, these came in on the Naked Football website. Trick question. Which Ipswich player has scored the most goals this season?
Billy
Clark.
I reckon Billy Clark is the answer.
Absolutely, this is from Jay.
And you don't even have to bring in both Billy Clarks into that either.
This is Jay, who's an all-sound season ticket holder. What did Bowditch do to earn himself an extra year on the payroll? Surely Billy Clark has done exactly what the management has asked him to do, which was to go out, get games and score goals. I, for one, really don't see that he can be any worse. He certainly can't be any worse than someone like Danny Haynes, who, whilst he played well against Sheffield Wednesday at home, followed that by being totally anonymous at Crystal Palace and was less than impressive at Chelsea. Okay, he was up against Ashley Cole, so that's a bit harsh. If Danny
Haynes kicked him, couldn't he?
If Danny Haynes was a car, He says you don't get this on 606. He'd only have reverse gear or fifth flat out. Surely Billy Clark has shown some consistency to warrant another year.
If he were a car, presumably when you were fixing him, you'd use a Haynes manual, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yeah, so has Billy Clark done enough?
Well, interesting point with Billy Clark. Billy Clark and Simeon Jackson. I think it's quite interesting. Simeon Jackson, kind of 21-year-old, plays with Gillingham. Scored, I think he scored last night, didn't he? So I think he scored something like 14 in 28 games. Billy Clark scored 12 in 27 now. And Simeon Jackson is the kind of player who's being linked with us as sort of, the kind of player from the lower leagues we ought to be buying. Yeah. And yet, we've actually got someone almost exactly the same profile as our own player, who we're probably going to let go at the end of the season. I guess two things with Clark, really. Is one, we can all see his talent when he was coming through. But, like Darryl Knights, who he played alongside, and various other people, not the biggest by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think the manager ever gave him enough of a chance up front, did he? He played most of his football wide on the left, and I think he
can't remember the exact game, but he started the first 45 minutes, came off at half time. Haynes, he went on in the second half, and Haynes scored and kept his place, and that was the time when the baton passed to Haynes being ahead of him in the pecking order.
It can happen,
it's the confidence thing, I think, from that point on. He didn't get a lot of game time, then started going out on loan. And, you know, it's one of those guys that seems to need that confidence, knowing he fits in the team. And he's gone to a lower league and out of the spotlight, just be able to get on with it, and he's done well.
He's done, it's remarkably well, really.
I mean, he can do no more than play games and score goals. He's proven that. He's making a message there. I mean, he's an Irishman anyhow, so I'm going to be biased anyhow, but I think he was one of the most talented players in that youth side.
He was the best all-round striker we've had at a club for a long time.
Definitely.
Coming through. Yeah, I mean, but the other thing, of course, is, and they all suffer from this, all the Clarks and Rhodeses and people, is that there's so many strikers, so many senior strikers. The manager is charged with getting the team promoted, not necessarily kind of as the first task, and any youngsters that happen to come through are more of a kind of byproduct of that rather than the main game, as it were. When are they going to play? When are you going to play Jordan Rhodes and Billy Clark and Connor Wickham? I know he's coming through and he's a different sort of player again. And Danny Haynes. It's very difficult to fit them all in, isn't it?
It is really difficult because when they play at the lower levels, it's a very tight unit and they all play together. They know how each other plays. When they come in the first team, it's the individual that's got to change and has got to make the step up and change it and play a different way and play with different players in a different kind of role. They're not the main man. They're not the one who gets the ball to put it in the net. That they might be used to at the lower levels. And I think that's probably what changes, and that's why they struggle as an individual. Whereas when they're in their team and they're used to doing the same thing week in, week out, against obviously not a strong opposition.
Physically, there's
a massive step up, and we don't build big players at this club.
Connor Wickham's going to be 84.
Since Bramble, he's the only one that you would say has got that kind of physical presence, and there's been a couple others that either injury or just for some reason manager hasn't fancied when they've come through.
On the Rhodes point of view, I got a text last night from a Brentford fan saying he not only scored a great goal, but God, he's a great player, why isn't he in your first team?
They want to sign him already, don't they?
They reckon he was awesome last night.
So I have to come back to the question about Bodic. The reason that they kept Bodic on for another year is one, that they can afford to do that now, whereas three years ago, I'm trying to think of somebody now that they'd probably let Bloomfield, for example. Matt Bloomfield, I reckon if he'd have been coming through now, they wouldn't have let him go.
Jim has mentioned himself saying if he'd been manager at the time, he wouldn't have let him go.
And they can afford to take it. But you speak to any of the players, you speak to any of the coaching staff, Bodic is fantastic in training. It's just somehow they're desperately trying to get that out in a game.
I don't know why they try him out wide on the left of midfield, because
he did a lot of that at Brighton and a lot of that at Brentford, I think, playing wide.
I'm sure he's a striker.
The other thing is, I wonder whether they think that if we get in the Premier League, and you saw on Saturday how different it is playing against a Premier League side. You get a bit more space in different areas, don't you? I think Pablo got more space in the first half than he would get in the Championship. He'd be closed down by great hulking Sheffield United players, left, right and centre. But I think that they feel that Bodic could probably do better in the Premier League than he has in the Championship, and they've sort of given him a year to...
He's got the skill and the football brain, but it's the physical side that he can't handle.
That's it. That is entirely it. What else we got?
Okay, right, this is from Brendan, talking about Billy Clark being too small. He says, isn't too small what we used to also say about Kieran Dyer? If you're good enough, you're big enough.
Good point.
Well, that's true, but I suppose there's a difference in playing up front against Danny Shittu, as Clark would have to, sort of, as a Championship striker, than playing
the perfect ball
in a midfield. But there again, you know, Kieran Dyer was playing central midfield for us, and he would have to come up against the likes of Patrick Vieira or whoever in that role. So, yeah, it's true. I mean, it's but in this division, I think physical strength has a lot to... plays a big role, doesn't it, as Mr. Shefty Coochie will tell you.
Brian Gunn, has Phil got a song for Civelli yet?
Brian Gunn, yes.
Yeah, it's Brian Gunn who's...
I think we should work on Hey Luciani by The Fall.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many people are familiar with it.
Luciano. Shall I do the rest of the show as an impression of Marky Smith?
Right, here we go.
Probably not.
Sorry that I'm reading over. Tony from Leicester. Gents, are we now happy that Marcus Evans held his nerve and kept faith with Jim? Sadly, DDD seems to be continuing his anti-Jim and Evans agenda, though. Tony in Leicester.
Well, I mean, if Jim gets promoted, then obviously Marcus Evans has made the right decision. At Christmas, when I kind of said, you know, I think it's probably time for Jim to... you know, the baton to be handed on, it didn't look like we were going to get anywhere, but, you know, fair play to him. And I like most supporters, I think I've kind of wanted Jim to be successful, and it was just a question of believing whether he was, really.
Is there a Gorman influence in that, though?
I think Gorman's kind of
steadied the ship and got it going in the right direction again.
Right, that will lead on to this one from Adam, season ticket holder. Does the panel think that our recent improvement is down to the appointment of John Gorham, or is it purely coincidental?
I don't think it's necessarily coincidence, but I don't see that an assistant manager coming in can make that huge... I don't know, have we... we've been kind of on the up since before he came anyway, really, haven't we?
I would say we're probably a bit better organised. I think certain players have got a... there might be a case it's just clicked with him, and it's, as you say, it's coincidence or not.
Because games like last night would have been let slip before, and Palace would have got the chances that we didn't allow them. And then
defensively, we're really strong at the moment, aren't we?
That's it, and it is that organisation, I think.
I think we've been good away from home for most of the season.
I think you made a valid point. Like last night, we conceded an early goal in the second half,
and that's it.
You'd pretty much, as a fan, think, "Oh, here we go," and they didn't. They held out,
and the team were waiting for that as well. I think it's that.
But we did the same thing
that's
somewhere
else. Away from home as well. There's no pressure away from home.
It's all down to the fans.
But I think the test really... I mean, we've had three away games in a row, haven't we? Including the Chelsea one. And we've picked up 6 points in the league, which has obviously seen us into the position we're in now. But I think we've kind of been sort of 8th to... or maybe 9th to 13th all the way through the season. So I don't think there's any massive improvement. It's probably just that we're at the kind of... We're better away at the moment than we are at home. I think the test of whether we've progressed significantly will be... whether we can win the next few games at home. Now, we're running out of time. We haven't spoken about the AGM yet. And the AGM
we're going to come to that, so I'm going to just wipe up these quickly. This is a message from Crazy saying, don't read anything from James Cummings, which we are just about to do, because he gets overexcited. I'll read a bit of this. This is from James. I won't read the lot, simply because, as you say, we haven't even got to the AGM yet. James, yes, you can come on the show in 2 weeks' time, because he'll be down for the Forest game, which, if anyone out there doesn't know, has been switched to the 18th now.
Yes.
On a Wednesday, strangely. So, yes.
Because if they get through the cup, then they play on Sunday. Yeah.
And if anyone else is down for that game and wants to come on the show, just get in touch, nakedfooty@icrfm.co.uk. Right, I'll do the first line and the last line. Is Danny Haynes making any progress? And the last line is... or the last paragraph, in no way do I dislike Danny, I think he's a bit of a cocky sod, look, we've said that on the radio, but then how many youths in 2009 aren't that way inclined? I find him just very frustrating to watch. As a Town season ticket holder who strongly believes that youth development should be at the core of every club, I'd love to see him crack on, improve his game and bring consistency to his play on the way to becoming a top pro, but sadly I don't see it happening anytime soon, and I think with the ink drying on a new contract we've wasted yet more money. A bit controversial.
I was interested, actually, to say, because saying that Bruce is going to be the first player to get 100 games under Jim Chilton. And
that
Danny is second, isn't he, on that
list? Is that right?
Danny was second with only one game behind Bruce.
That's quite extraordinary.
So Jim's obviously rated him and played him a lot more than we probably realise he has.
Yeah. I mean, Hanks, you know, he's got his strengths, hasn't he? And he's obviously got his weaknesses.
I mean, it's Chelsea kind of showed it in a nutshell. I mean, Ashley Cole is one of the best fullbacks, possibly even the world, but certainly in the Premiership. And, you know, you don't beat him for pace easily, but Haynes Watts, and he was worrying him, it's just that final ball or the shot or whatever, that lack of quality at the end. You know, and that was it. But the actual pace side of it, which you can't coach, which you can't teach anybody, you've got to have it, you know, he certainly got.
I think he's got. I think he's what he's very good at. He's very, very good at. And but what he's got to work on, he's got to do a lot of work on. I'm still unconvinced whether he'll make it over a long. Whether he'd still be playing this level at 27. Say, I think. But yeah. Next year or two could be vital for him.
Right. Quick question. Then we go on to Carl.
Go.
We'll let Carl have the whole of the last 5 minutes. Just a quick question. As Forrest will be a walkover. Incidentally, the fixture has changed as Forrest are still in the FA Cup. The question is, when did Ipswich last beat Forest? That's from Chris out in the sticks.
When did we beat Forest?
We beat them.
Yeah, I remember we beat them 6-0 once, but that was a while ago. We beat them 3-0 once.
At home, wasn't it?
I've seen us win there at some point, but I think that was a long time ago, wasn't there? Yeah, probably the 6-0. There you go. Who scored?
Someone will have to look that one up.
Everybody's got to go on it now.
So the AGM this evening.
Right, Carl, yes, go for it.
Well, I don't think we're expecting an evening of great excitement.
I think the interesting thing with the AGM this time round is seeing what the turnout's going to be, because previously when, obviously, your vote actually counted for anything, then there was a big turnout. And now it's, you know, in all fairness, there's an insignificant part of the club now, which is unfortunate. You know, we're still shareholders, but not as in such control. And I think it'd be interesting to see what the turnout and who turns out, if it's just the usual folk, or if it's going to be people that will be a bit more upset and want to be more vocal.
And where do you put yourself? Are you one of the usual folk, or one of those who gets a bit more upset and a bit more vocal?
Well, without trying to sound like I'm sitting on the fence, I'm still not totally convinced that the Marcus Evans specials is the greatest thing in the world. I think that we gave away too much too quickly. There are certain things in there that I'm going to ask for clarity on tonight. One of them is regards to the interest payments.
Go on then, tell us about the. The overall financial picture is that the club lost 5 million.
Well, they're spending to try and get promotion. That's quite clear. The problem is one, how long is he prepared to carry on spending in that format if we don't get promotion? Because if not, we're going to be left with quite a burden left behind because of our spending practices. But it's interesting to note that, and I'm going to ask for clarity tonight, is obviously the interest payments before and the 32 million was actually suspended. But it would appear, looking at these figures, that it's now, since Marcus Evans took over, has now started again. And it doesn't quite make sense to me why you're taking interest payments if you're putting money in the club. But that's what I'm going to ask for clarity on tonight.
But I mean, I think that was in the EGM document that was mentioned, because the agreement with Norwich Union, who previously held the vast majority of the debt, was basically because we couldn't afford to pay it.
What I meant,
it was an interest holiday for 2 years, wasn't it?
2-3 years. Yeah, it was an option for a third year. But the point is why are you ploughing money into a club if you're also pulling it out as interest payments? It doesn't quite make sense to me.
Well, at the same time, is he actually taking interest payments, or is it purely an accounting exercise in that
money is coming
in one way and going out the other, and presumably sort of advantageous reason?
That's what we want clarity on, really.
Because, I mean, as I understand the situation with what he's paid in, it's 12 million effectively that he paid in when the club was taken over, some of which was a loan, which is payable in within 5 years if we're in the Premier League for a certain number of years. Or beyond that.
Oh, there were triggers.
Or beyond that, not payable.
But it's just surprising that they're showing payments of interest payments now, when you'd think they would still suspend it until we're in a, you know, in the land of the riches.
There's something that was mentioned in that, because basically the document that went out to shareholders, I don't know if everyone knows, was the accounts for the PLC, which is 12.5% of the club. So really, that doesn't tell you a whole lot. But there was a slip in it with a kind of overview, not massively detailed, but there again, not.
And they're not obliged to.
But not cursory, not incredibly cursory. On the overall picture that the company's in, the club is in. But I can't remember the point I was going to make now. Hang on, I'll come to it in a second. It says something about how at the end of the season, the 12 million will be exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Derek Bowden himself has already indicated that the initial funding will run out by the end of this season.
So Marcus Evans is going to put more money in at the end of the season because without it, the club obviously goes bankrupt.
It's in his interest to get us promoted. That's the one positive from it.
But they've got contracts with the players that are above and beyond the natural turnover of the club, haven't they? So money will. There's no question that he will continue to fund the club.
It's almost like he's doing two separate things where he's funding the football, but the business side itself, the actual entity, the commercial side of the club, has to run itself, and that's what the money's coming back out of again. And the commercial side of the club isn't actually paying for the football side.
No.
He is out of his own wealth throughout the umbrella, the whole group of companies.
He's backing them.
He's keeping the two separate, isn't he?
He's...
So the business has to run a good ship and has to, fund itself.
Yeah.
The day-to-day running, but the actual football side of it, he's going to put the money in because without that, there's no point in the investment.
Oh yeah, the club is essentially making a massive loss, which he's backing, isn't it? We're not the only ones doing that. We're like any club trying to get into the Premier League, aren't we?
Indeed, we are. The danger is, if we don't, don't get me wrong, I want us in the Premiership as much as anyone else does. My only fear is if we don't, how deep are the pockets going to be?
So worst case scenario, 3 years, 4 years' time, we're not in the Premier League.
I'll better find a Saudi friend.
And Marcus Evans goes out. Marcus Evans thinks, I'd really quite like to get involved with cricket now, or whatever, or boxing. What happens?
Well, there was said at the time last year that there's certain caveats in place that if he's to sell on the club, etc., the debt and all that has to be part and parcel of it. So if there is a huge debt, he's got to get someone to take on the debt as well. It's not the case of he can do a cut and run and leave all the debt. It has to be a part of the transaction.
But he can't sell the debt for more than he paid for it.
Exactly.
Which I think is about £8 million as well.
Yeah, 10 pence in the pound.
But, all the kind of signs are that isn't going to happen, that he does see it as a long-term thing.
Yeah, agreed, but it's noticeable that on the trust side of it that you're starting to hear more and more people saying that the personal side of the club is beginning to be lost again, and it almost seems they're chasing the corporate pound again, because on my corporate side of it, they can't do enough for me, but when on the season ticket myself, I get a lot of grief.
Mm.
And I do think that there's a definite switch in the style at the club as well, which is unfortunate.
As it was, perhaps, when we were in the Premier League before.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, that's it.
I'm really sorry.
The very final word was March the 12th, 2005. That was the last time we beat Forest. It was indeed 6-0. Scorers were Naylor, who also scored again last night, didn't he?
And Gibb at the side as well.
Yeah, Naylor, Westlake, Miller, Coochie and Bent. Right, thanks to Carl, thanks to David, thanks to Phil. Till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care, bye-bye.
We are fiesta.